Good morning. Welcome to St. John's Lutheran Church this morning. I'm so happy that you're all here. Whether you're here with us in worship or you're worshiping with us online, it's good for us to be together. But we have Sunday school bags in the back. If you have a child here, if you have children who will be coming to your house today, if you have children in your neighborhood, whatever, these Sunday school bags are a way for them to see through a story and a craft and all kinds of fun how much God loves them. But we also have Sunday school itself in between services. So after this service is finished, if there are children here, there's a Sunday school class that they can go to this morning. This Thursday, we will continue our Bible study on the Gospel of John. This week, we're going to be looking at the first two chapters of the Gospel of John, and we meet in the parlor at 6:30 on Thursday evening. So if you are willing, please join us. The Thrift Shop Coat Drive is coming soon. It will be Saturday, October 9th. We need coats that will help keep our neighbors warm when they're in need. We also need people. People who can help us set things up on Friday the 8th. People who can help distribute on the 9th. So please help if you are able. Mark that on your calendar. The coat drive is Saturday, October 9. There are lots of other announcements printed in your bulletin, and I hope you take a chance to look through them. But we gathered this morning to be in worship, to add our voices to those across time and space that give praise and thanks to God. So let us rise to begin our worship. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Our gathering song is My Life is in You, and we sing together. Let us pray. O God, our teacher and guide, you draw us to yourself and welcome us as beloved children. Help us to lay aside all envy and selfish ambition, that we may walk into your ways of wisdom and understanding, as servants of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
Our first lesson is from the 11th chapter of Jeremiah. It was the Lord who made it known to me, and I knew. Then you showed me their evil deeds. But I was like a gentle lamb led to the slaughter, and I did not know it was against me that they devised schemes, saying, "Let us destroy the tree with its fruit. Let us cut him off from the land of the living, so that his name will no longer be remembered." But you, Lord of hosts, who judge righteously, who try the heart and the mind, Let me see your retribution upon them, for to you I have committed my cause. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Second lesson comes to us from the third chapter of James, the fourth chapter of James. Who is wise and understanding among you? Show by your good life that your works are done with gentleness born of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not be boastful and false to the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, devilish. For where there is envy and selfish ambition, there will also be disorder and wickedness of every kind. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace for those who make peace. Those conflicts and disputes among you, where do they come from? Do they not come from your cravings that are at war within you? You want something and do not have it, so you commit murder. And you covet something and cannot obtain it, so you engage in disputes and conflicts. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly, in order to spend what you get on your pleasures. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. The word of the Lord.
Please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark in the 9th chapter. Jesus and the disciples went on and passed through Galilee. He did not want anyone to know it, for he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, "The Son of Man is to be betrayed into human hands, and they will kill him, and 3 days after being killed, he will rise again." But they did not understand what he was saying and were afraid to ask him. Then they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they were silent, for on the way they had argued with one another who was the greatest. He sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all." Then he took a little child and put it among them, and taking it into his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." The Gospel of our Lord. The congregation may be seated, but I would love to invite the children to come on forward. It's a little ways from upstairs down, so... Come on down. Welcome. I am so happy that you're with us today. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Has anybody ever said something like that to you before? Okay, like when? When you walk in the door. Yep. Sometimes my mom would do that to us. I'd go visit my mom and she's like, "Oh, yay." You know, grandmas do that. Does your grandma do that? Sometimes. And then other times it's like, oh, she's never mad when she sees you. No. But you see, Jesus in today's gospel says we need to welcome one another like we welcome children, like you. You're the model. I need to be more like you. At least that's what Jesus says. Kind of cool, huh? You're the model for all of these people around here? Well, they should be more like you. What do you think that means? You trust people. You accept when I came in and said welcome, you weren't like, "This guy's really weird," and go the other way. All right? So, we all need to be trusting and open and willing and friendly and all of those things, just like you are, naturally. So if you don't feel weird, if I am just sort of watching to see what you're doing, because I'm just trying to figure out how it is I'm supposed to behave, all right? Because you are my model. Let's have a prayer. Dear Jesus, we thank you for allowing us to see we have a new model. Help us to come to you as a child. Help us to welcome one another as children. Help us to love the world so it will be different. We thank you for this day, Lord. Amen. Thanks for coming. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. To all the high school girls in the room, I apologize ahead of time. Hi, my name's Jennifer, Jenny to my friends, and I love spending time with my Bumpa and Nana. They're the greatest grandparents anyone could ever have. I was the one who started calling them Bumpa and Nana. In fact, when I was really little, I couldn't say grandma or grandpa, so I said Bumpa and Nana, and that just kind of stuck. Bumpa and Nana are my mom's parents, and we've always lived close to them. I don't know my dad's parents as well. They live out of town, but they're nice. But they're also Grandma Lois and Grandpa Gary, because there's only one Bumpa and only one Nana. This is my junior year in high school, and I've been having some real problems with one of the other girls in my grade. Well, to be honest, I've always had a problem with this one girl. Well, maybe not always. We were friends in early elementary school, but at about fifth grade, she started being a real thorn in my side. We've been number one and number two in school as far as grades go for forever. Now, in high school, I'm still number one in grades, but she's number one in the popularity pool at our school. And that's where the problems come. I can keep my grades just fine. It's just that Christy is using her popularity to run me down and make me look bad to everyone. She will toss comments off as she walks by in the hallways. Many of them are total fabrications, and by lunchtime, I have to deal with all of the rumors, now compounded with all of the sort of telephone repetition that was going on in the hallways. She's had me at beer parties and at drug parties when the last party I was at was my cousin's sixth birthday party. I've been stopped for speeding and caught peeping outside a boy's house, and that was all in her imagination. I'm not sure why she's doing any of this. It might be easier for me if I did understand. Now, I do suppose, if I'm going to be honest here, I have to confess that I've done some of the same kinds of things to her. I've kind of let slip some things about her that weren't necessarily complimentary, but I never make stuff up. I also belittle the cheerleaders. She's the captain. I talk about them if they're all sort of bubbleheads. But of course, she started and I'm just protecting myself. Well, this time I got into trouble. Christy had really frustrated me again with another story, with another lie. So I took baby powder and blew it into her locker through the vents, an entire bottle. Everything inside was covered, coated in baby powder. The hall looked like there was fog when she opened the door to her locker. Unfortunately, I was seen and eventually called down to the principal. I had to clean it up. My parents are going to get a call today. It's all so unfair. So naturally, I went to Nana's after school. Who else was going to love me no matter what? Come on. I walked into Nana's kitchen and heard her calling from the next room. Who is it? It's just me, Nana, J-Dog. Oh, Jennifer, why do you insist? She tutted as she came in the room, gave me a hug. You have such a beautiful name. But you won't even call me Jenny, will you, Nana? No. As I said, you have a beautiful name and I will call you by it. She smiled. But I call you Nana, and your name is Anna. I know there isn't a lot of difference, but Nana is the beautiful name you gave to me, and I'm happy you wish to call me that. Now, what brings you here? Are you in trouble with your parents, or do you want to talk to me about some boy? Sitting down, I said, it will probably be the former, although I would rather it was the boy. So would I, said Nana, and she winked. What's wrong? So I told Nana about Christy and me, and the things that she makes up and the way it makes me feel. Then I told her about the baby powder. She tried to keep a real stern face, but I could see the smile in her eyes when she heard about that. She got up and went to go get a cup of coffee and came back with some cookies for us to share. As she sat down, she said, I had hoped I wouldn't have to tell you some of what I'm going to say. It doesn't make me look very good, but I think you need to hear some of this. I sat there, intrigued, beckoning with my eyes for her to continue. And she said, there was a girl in when I was in school also. Her name was Eleanor, and we were oil and water. People were always trying to pour us into the same dish, but we would separate, and it was never pretty. She was after everything I had. I was after everything that she had. I don't remember why. That's just the way that it was. I was smiling at your baby powder prank because back in the day, I found a truly awful bottle of perfume and sprayed it into Eleanor's locker. I did it on a Friday afternoon. No one caught me, so by Monday morning, her whole locker smelled atrocious. Our feuding went on through school to graduation, and it was even starting to continue into that summer after, when an unlikely source stopped me one day and asked me, "Why do you do all of that? Is she really worth all that effort? And is hatred that much fun?" Nanner sipped her coffee and said, "That was your bump of Carl. I wasn't seeing him at the time. Neither was Eleanor. He was one of those boys that sort of skated alongside, outside of most people's notice. Eleanor and I had fought over football players and basketball players, all of whom wound up having no brains between them, by the way. And we had both ignored Carl altogether. I was at the hardware store looking for jelly jar lids for our strawberry jam, and Carl was just there. And he asked me if it was worth it. I looked at him, stunned silent. He said he'd seen how much time and effort I had put into this feud all through school. He also let me know that he thought that it was foolish. He asked me if I wouldn't rather put all of that effort into things that were good and wonderful and make a difference for people. I was shocked, and he made me think. I really had been spending so much time on nothing. I had used my talents and my creativity and even my allowance money just to get back at someone. But for what? She sat and smiled for a while, and she said, "He invited me over to the drugstore for a malted and some talk," and I said, "Yes," which was bold for me because it was daytime and I hadn't asked my father's permission. So we went. He got us two malts, one chocolate, one vanilla. "I didn't know which one you liked better," he said. He then asked me if I ever went to church. And I said, "Yes." And he said, "Well, there are places in the Bible that talk about some of this stuff." He went on to mention the book of James that tells us that our lives are meant to be lived in God's wisdom, which he said was pure and peaceable, gentle, and willing to yield to and for others. He said that our lives can be lived full of mercy, not vengeance, mercy and good fruits without partiality or hypocrisy. As he was talking, I knew that I should be embarrassed or maybe even mad at him, but his voice was so gentle and so sincere, I just nodded my head. Then he said that Jesus had also wanted his disciples to stop fighting over which one of them was the greatest, to live for the sake of others instead. He told me that he knew that that can be hard, but, and this is where he started getting red in the face. He said, "You're too beautiful to let Eleanor and your argument make you ugly and bitter." He then looked straight down at the table after saying that and drank half his malted in a single draft. I looked out the window and then at him. And eventually I said thank you, and I meant it. He never tried to make me feel foolish. He never tried to tell me that I was bad or wrong. He just said that I could use all of that time and effort so much better. And he called me cute. That was a pretty good day for a girl like me. She truckled and went to get some more coffee. So I said, "So Nana, you're telling me all of this so that I will hear that I really don't need to spend my time getting even with Christy. You know, I even know that you're right. I never really knew why I was doing it other than that she was doing it to me, so I figured it was expected of me. I'm not sure by whom it was expected, but I didn't want to let him down." "Did you just stop, Nana? How did your feud with Eleanor end?" She looked at me and she said, "I did just stop. We weren't in school, so it was easier, and I just chose not to respond when I heard another story. One day I ran into Eleanor in the store. I went up to her and I apologized to her. I told her I was sorry and that I should have never done the things that I had done to her. Then I turned around and I walked out of the store. 2 days later, I got a card in the mail. Eleanor thanked me for my apology, and she apologized to me as well. When next we met, we just smiled at each other, and then we started to laugh. We laughed so hard, tears were coming from our eyes, and from that moment on, we were truly friends. She and her husband, Tommy Driscoll, basketball star and mental midget, but a very nice man, they're your mother's godparents. Jennifer, you don't need to keep this up. In fact, your life gets better as soon as you stop. It doesn't always end as well as it did for me and Eleanor. But you feel stronger in yourself. You feel stronger in your life with God and with other people. Your bumpa and I started dating after that. I noticed how handsome he was, and I remembered how gentle and caring he was. Now, are there any forgotten good-looking boys in your school? She asked, laughing. And so I think I will stop this. When I get home, I will talk with Mom and Dad and tell them that Nana helped me see my foolishness. Maybe that way I won't get grounded so I can go to the football game this week and start looking for those forgotten boys. Jesus has always taught and lived and shown that life lived best is lived for the sake of others. When his disciples were arguing as to which of them was greatest, he told them that service makes us better, not status. James went on to tell us that our lives can be lived in God's wisdom and not in human wisdom. James tells us that human wisdom, you know, the reality TV 15 minutes of fame kind of wisdom, is earthly, unspiritual, and devilish. Rather, we are called to live with our life's goal to be pure and peaceable, gentle, and willing to yield to and for others. We can live full of mercy and good fruits without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy because God is with us and Christ's love is ours. That is what we are being called to today, a life lived in hope, and not stuck in resentment or vengeance. We are called to find a life of peace, not violence, mercy and grace, not bitterness and wrath. The amazing truth is that we can live that peace. We can live in mercy because of God's love for us all. We can live those lives because of Jesus' death and resurrection. We can now leave aside that human wisdom and live in God's wisdom instead. Now, we won't always make that work. We can't. We're human. But it is God who calls us, God who inspires us, God who strengthens and guides us, and it is also God who forgives us and gives us another chance. We aren't the greatest in God's kingdom, and we're not the least either. What we are is blessed. We are part of that kingdom of God, and we get to bring that kingdom with us for the sake of the world, for our friends and family, our neighbors and strangers, even our enemies. We get to live God's love because God is with us. So let us share that dream with the world around us and bring God's love and beauty wherever we go. Amen. Please rise in remembrance and celebration of our baptism. Let us confess together our faith using the words we find in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Made children and heirs of God's promise, we pray for the church, the world, and all in need. God of community, we pray for the church around the world. Unite us in our love for you. Help us overcome our divisions, that we are encouraged to work together for your sake. Lord, in your mercy, God of creation, we pray for this hurting earth. Awaken in us a new desire to care for this world and empower us to support agencies, organizations, and individual efforts to heal our environment. Lord, in your mercy, God of cooperation, we pray for nations of the world embroiled in conflict. Inspire leaders to listen to each other and work towards peaceful solutions to disagreements. Protect the vulnerable, especially children, who cannot find safety in their home or country. Lord, in your mercy, God of comfort, we pray for all who live with mental or physical illness. Help them find appropriate care. Bring healing and wholeness when the path forward seems bleak. Lord, in your mercy, God of compassion, we pray for the young people of this congregation. Renew in us your call to welcome the children in our midst. As they grow, strengthen their faith and our commitment to them. Lord, in your mercy, God of consolation, we give you thanks for our loved ones who have died and prayed for all who grieve today. Shine your mercy on all your saints. Lord, in your mercy, receive these prayers, O God, and those in our hearts known only to you through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. And now, let us go into the world with hope.
To make God's vision our mission.
You've been listening to St. John's Lutheran Church, 120 West Water Street, Sydney, Ohio. May God's glory abide with us today. May the love of God be increased within us and extended towards our fellow worshipers. Welcome, children of God. We invite you to return and worship with us again.
Deny. sure as the morning light.